everybody, and thank you very much for staying to the end of LREF. Nice to see a mostly full room for what should be a very interesting talk on Stratford and the Royals. I've got quite a panel here today for you, and really pleased to see, actually, that of the six members of the panel, we have four from the private sector. So this is very much not about the public sector desperately trying to use these events to drum up investment in their borough or in their area. This is about what's actually happening right now. So I'm actually going to start with the four members of the private sector to talk through their development sites and where they're up to before I come to Deirdre and Simon to respond. I should say that I'm Johnny Popper, Managing Director at London Communications Agency. We've been very, very involved in lots of work across both of these areas. But I'd like to start, if I may, with Simon Webster. So Simon is Managing Partner of the Silvertown Partnership, probably the largest site at 62 acres, plans for 7 million square feet, including 3,000 homes, obviously a massive mix of commercial space, got planning consent last year. If you could tell us where you're up to and what your plans are.
Yeah, very pleased to do that, and it took a long time to get planning permission, as we all know, and I think it's worth just stressing how important it was to work with both Newham and the GLA and all the stakeholders to make sure that the mix of uses in the master plan were fit for the needs of the area. So because of the scale of it, 7 million square feet, Silvertown is more than just a residential or commercial scheme. It's very much creating a piece of city with culture, leisure, restaurants, social infrastructure, schools, so that you can help the growing area around it, such as the residential schemes, have a sort of central point for activity and identity. And we're now working through this year on the first phase. And the first phase has to be of a scale that creates the initial destination. So, as ever, there's a lot of infrastructure up front. We've got a new bridge coming in over the Royal Dock, which will link us to Custom House Crossrail. We'll be a five-minute walk from that. And obviously, when that opens at the end of 18 through 19, it'll be a huge catalyst for the whole area, but particularly for Silvertown. And as well as the infrastructure, the first phase is broadly 50% commercial, 50% residential. And the commercial element, we're very, very fortunate to have a wonderful old building called Millennium Mills. Some of you may know it if you've flown in to City Airport. And it's about 500,000 square feet gross. It's an old flour mill from the early 1900s. And what we are going to do is really restore it to its former glory and to not overspecify the building. So you create high ceilings back to sort of blasted concrete so that many of the tenants who are currently in places like Shoreditch are finding it very, very expensive. So as part of the overall Royal Docks offer, we can offer some very exciting space there. Together with refurbishing the building, there'll be some new build commercial and brand space. And in addition to that, the residential will be around 800 units, and there will be a range of types from starter homes right through to family units. So, you know, our overall plan is get the detailed planning sorted out this year, start construction next year with a view to opening different elements of phase one through 2019 and 2020.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to stay in the Royal Docks and introduce John Mew from ABP, the Chief Operating Officer. Obviously, John, you've set out an ambition to create London's third business district, obviously with your offer very much to Asian businesses creating their HQs or European HQs in London. If you could just tell us your progress and your success with doing so, and also perhaps touch on whether the current levels of uncertainty and with Brexit in particular is having any impact on the Asian market.
Sure. Thank you, John. I'll take up probably about first 20 seconds explaining ourselves, who we are, because in the real estate, probably we are still a new kid in the block. ABP is a large-scale commercial developer in China. We have about 220 million square foot of portfolio in China. London is our first project. Very fortunate to work with GLA and Newham for the last 7 years. And now, finally, we are on site for our first phase. The whole project scale is 4.7 million square foot. Two-thirds of it is commercial. Our site is a commercial-led site, generation of opportunity, business opportunity, investment, and also as well as employment. What we try to do is we have observed the city of London, to grow up in the last 60 years. in the center of London, Mayfair, where we are, city, and progressing, moving to Canary Wharf. And we can actually clearly see the trend that London business, commercial, is growing eastward. And we are very lucky that Royal Dock, Royal Albert Dock, where we are, is the only enterprise zone. And one of the enterprise zone facility in there is we have a speedy planning applications. And again, with the help of both JLA and Newham, we have basically got our full planning consent for our first phase, end of 2015. And now we are already on site. The first phase is going to be delivered by first quarter of 2019. They are all 100% commercial, and we have already pre-sold 60% of those space to institute investor, local in the UK, also in the Far East, Hong Kong, and China. And that actually proven one key fact is real estate market in London is a very favorable space from abroad. Brexit, no Brexit, doesn't care. In actual fact, that when we ask an investor from China and Hong Kong, how do they see what is the Brexit will affect the investment appetite to the London real estate market? No, doesn't even register in the scale because they're more concerned what's happening in America, which is they invest heavily in there. And we can actually see our occupation is start getting momentum. We have now, because since we are on site, we have seen a lot more tenants, occupier are actually queuing up register. Today, this morning, I just signed up with another major listed company in China providing innovation incubation space. And we already signed up with them to create a innovation, high-tech innovation incubation center in our site. So you can actually see, and I invite you to see all of you to come and actually see our site. And we are open for business. So if any one of you from 2,000 square foot up to 150,000 square foot for our phase one, please, I'm here and come to talk to me. Thank you.
I never thought we'd be grateful for Donald Trump, but clearly for something we are there for. we might come back to the issue of Brexit impact shortly as well. Going to move slightly to the west, not too far, to John Turner from Ballymore. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about, I think we're quite well timed, you're launching Good Luck Hope tomorrow, I understand. Perhaps you could give us an update on that. But of course, Ballymore more broadly has also been heavily involved as an investor into Newham in this area. So it might be worth just talking about your experience in the borough and some of your other projects.
Very much so. Tomorrow we are in fact launching the second phase of our City Island development. It's called Good Luck Hope. Why is it called Good Luck Hope? That was the name of a large estate going back to the 14th century in the southern part of the Leemau Peninsula. The development comprises 804 units, a mix of suites, 1, 2, 3, and 3 bedrooms, as well as commercial development. For us, it's quite novel because normally we have a fairly blank canvas, but it's actually designed in context. We work with Allies and Morrison, who've done a very, very good job on the scheme. It's being launched tomorrow, the first phase, 347 units. Completion is targeted for 2021. Moving further eastwards from there into the London Borough of Newham, we've been involved since way before 2012 with a scheme initially called Minoco Wharf. This is a 15.2 hectare site, part of which was previously a safeguarded wharf. And we obtained planning permission from the London Borough of Newham and the former Development Corporation in March 2012. It's a mixed-use scheme for 3,385 residential units and commercial space. Also includes a 420 two-form entry primary school as well as a nursery. Currently, it's one of the busiest construction sites probably in the country with over 1,500 construction workers on site. Target completion is around 2020. It was a very difficult site. It was one which involved three particular planning authorities, the GLA, the former Development Corporation, also the London Borough of Newham. Sometimes that can be a very difficult scenario, but it actually worked very, very well because from day one we decided we didn't want to deal with three different authorities, and we had one meeting, and things move forward fairly positively from a planning performance agreement. Planning permission was granted in 2012. First occupation within the next 18 months or so. Other sites we're involved in down there. We also own two other sites which total in area 16 hectares, which subject to planning permission could deliver a further 3,500 units.
Thank you very much. And then lastly, from the private sector, I'd like to come to Ben O'Rourke, Managing Director of the International Quarter London. Obviously, you're developing 4 million square feet of commercial space. I think already have a million square feet of that let. Perhaps you could just talk to us a little bit about the development timetable you're working towards and also how you're progressing with other lettings.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. We're right in the middle of it. Right now, we have two major commercial office buildings that are deep in construction. One of them is due for occupancy at the end of this year. And the second one, which is the new home for the Financial Conduct Authority for the summer of next year. And that's on top of two residential towers, which are both complete now, one of which is occupied and the other is being occupied as we speak. So the summer of next year for us is a tipping point because we bring forward two fully occupied buildings with 7,000 people who will be working there, on top of the 1,000-odd people that will be living there, on top of a new civic square with retail, with cafes, restaurants, wine bars and so on. On top of that, we're close to announcing two new major pre-lets and we've just triggered a third commercial office building which started construction last month. And we have a fourth building that we're getting close on as well. So there's momentum for us. I think one of the great things about the location for International Quarter London is that for a long time, it's been the Olympic Park, and it's been, you know, about sporting facilities and what's coming. And there is an awful lot that has gone on, and Deirdre, no doubt you'll pick up on some of this later on as well. But, you know, we're sitting on top of the seventh busiest rail station in London. There's almost 70 million people going through the turnstiles in Stratford, and that's excluding the southeastern high speed, it's excluding the bus terminals, two big bus terminals that are there. And the London Overground. There's world-class sporting facilities. There's an incredible park with kilometres of waterways. There's the authenticity of old Stratford and Hackney Wick. So the amenity is significant. And the London Legacy Development Corporation is getting close to starting their new cultural education district, Stratford Waterfront, which is next to us, bringing more university students, bringing galleries, dance studios and so on. So there's a lot of richness coming. We're contributing to that. We see ourselves as the heart of that with our new civic square. And it's a pretty exciting time to be in Stratford.
And just quickly to comment, I mean, Brexit impact for you. We heard John say for the Asian businesses, not even on their register, presumably slightly more challenging environment at the International Quarter London.
Yes and no. Immediately before the vote, immediately after, capital stopped, went on holidays for a little while. We did see the professional services sector slow down a little bit. And a lot of that as well is, you know, signing 20-year leases for large volumes of areas is something that the market is starting to think about and not necessarily wanting to take that liability on. But having said that, we've signed two major pre-lets since with some really interesting organisations, which I'd love to be announcing today, but that'll be a couple of weeks away now. So we've been quite busy. We've been quite busy. But, you know, for those of you, I mean, everyone in this room is aware of the volatility coming. It's a little bit hard to call exactly how all that will unfold. But with the backlog that we've got in hand at the moment and the two new buildings that we've got coming forward, we're pretty busy.
Yeah, thank you. And then turning now to Deirdre Armsby, Director of Regeneration and Planning at London Borough of Newham. We've obviously been at Newham since 2010. I mean, my obvious question to you is how you are coping, not just with what we've already heard, but there's a huge amount of work going on elsewhere in Newham that we're not even discussing today. So really, firstly, how are you coping? How is the team coping? And secondly, just in terms of the Royals, obviously, I think it's already been mentioned, there's been so much of a focus on the Olympic Park and Stratford, you know, is that a help or a hindrance to being able to bring forward development at the Royal Docks?
Well, it's really kind of you, Johnny, to give me an offer of a therapy session about how you're coping and so on. But actually, I feel like I should actually be sitting here wearing like a 10-gallon hat, because I feel like I'm director of regeneration and planning in Texas or something. Yeah. You know, the scale of everything is quite unbelievable, and it's very welcome to us. And we've had to make sure that we have prepared ourselves for it and equip ourselves for it. We've all got resource problems across the whole industry, but the work is so exciting that it's kept people going, I think. So that's been interesting. And I think if you look at the boards outside, where you see all the sort of key stats of most of the boroughs in London, you know, our population increase, our number of homes per year, you know, they're right there at the top. So it certainly has been challenging, but also very welcome, you know. So what our philosophy's been, I think, that keeps everyone going is that, you know, the borough motto is progress with the people. And we have a lot of opportunity, and we know that if we make the best of that with the help of our private sector partners, that's exactly what we will achieve. So from providing new homes to making sure that the construction jobs and the end user jobs in the borough through the regeneration are there on a daily basis and in a real way to benefit people, that's been the thing that has been a big strategic objective of the political leadership in the borough. And that has worked very effectively. It's been a consistent message. I think everybody will agree who's been involved in the borough for long and short periods of time that message is really at the heart of everything that we do. So developers like clarity. They always tell us that. So we try to give that to them as far as possible. I think we've also been very bold in terms of looking at things such as John says, you know, with the safeguarded wharf, and pushing at the boundaries where other regulators were saying it should stay as it is, but we worked together to make sure that we got something better out of it. And that's been really key to us, that we align our ambitions with those of the investors that are coming forward. And we've made sure that you know, that has crystallised, and we've kept close to our partners and walked along with them. It doesn't stop us having difficult conversations, and there often are, about things like quantities of affordable housing. And we do that in a very professional way, and I think they appreciate that we will always push hard on those sorts of agendas. But on the whole, I think our ambition has been to enable, to cooperate with the people that have come along, to be clear about what we want. And we've done that in Stratford. It's a little bit more tricky there, because obviously we're not the planning authority, but we've tried our best to influence that through both, you know, the membership of our members on their planning committees, and also pitching into, you know, policy making work. So we keep a very close eye on that, because one day all of that will come back to us. So things that have been set in train there, we know we have to live with, and we have to enable from a highways point of view or an education point of view. So we're keen that we work with those statutory partners, and I think, you know, that's been really epitomised of late with the work we've done with the GMP.